Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Afric, how are you doing? Are you all right?
Hello, Dave.
How was Doonagall?
Oh, it was great.
Was it?
Oh, she's delighted.
Sunny in Donegal.
Yeah, never as...
It is every day of the year, isn't it?
Of course. Yeah, beautiful. Never as roasting as it is here, but
really?
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I was delighted because I can't sleep in this heat.
Yeah, right. Jeepers, John, listen, I'm not gonna, I've heard a few items every time I tune in the radio, which isn't that often in the last week. Oh, how are you sleeping in the heat? Shut up, for God's sake.
All right.
Go to sleep. Don't care. Deal with it.
All right, fine. It's just called small talk, Dave, but whatever.
Right. That's
it's grand.
Small talk. That's a waste of time. Go on.
Waste of time.
Now, whereas, what you've
Speaking
got
Speaking of
me,
wasting time. Yeah.
You've got fabulous stories, no doubt.
I do, yeah.
Basically, just in case you don't know, Africa's here every week to talk about stuff that you might have seen vaguely in the papers, like, I often have.
You actually have. It's
but
weird.
No, but the headlines. And I don't bother reading
the
article.
Yeah, you don't bother reading the story. So, well, I do.
Yeah, exactly.
I bother reading
so
the story.
So you read the article so we don't have to.
So I really liked this one during the week. It was in The Guardian. I loved this story because he's so petty for this tiny amount of money. So there's this guy. He's a lawyer and he's from India. And he has won a 22-year legal battle with Indian Railways for overcharging him by 20 rupees. Would you like to know how much 20 rupees is?
I wouldn't say it's an awful lot.
25 cents.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, or 21p if you're a Guardian reader.
Yeah.
So his name is Tungath Chaturvedi. And he's 66 and he bought a ticket at Mathura station in Uttar Pradesh in 1999 to go to Moradabad, and he was charged 90 rupees instead of 70, and he complained there and then, but he was not issued with a refund at the time. So he filed a complaint with the local consumer court against Northeast Railway Service, and after 100 hearings, the court ruled last week in his favour after 22 years and 100
hearings.
All right,
so there's a point of principle. The guy's a lawyer, but that's a bit of a waste of everything.
That's exactly what he said.
Well, it's a question of who's going to give in first.
Exactly. And it didn't look like, after 22 years, you kind of throw your hat at it. After 22 minutes, I'd probably throw my hat at it, to be fair. But the court ruled last week in his favour and they ordered the railways to pay a fine of 15,000 rupees, which is £154, as well as the outstanding amount, plus 12% interest. And if it's not paid within 30 days, the interest is going to rise to 15%. So it was great vindication for him. But he told the BBC, and he said, you can't put a price on the energy and time I've lost fighting this case. But he finally got his day in court and he got his 20 rupees.
Trying on a big mountain, you know, and he's kind of halfway there going, really, is this for...
Would you not do it?
And he keeps going. He reached the top.
He did. He reached the top. And that's the kind of determination and grit we need a bit more
of. Tenacity.
Yeah. Exactly. So apparently this is a real... indictment of India's court system, because it's incredibly overloaded. And when I say overloaded, there are 40 million cases clogging up the system in India at the moment. Mm. And apparently legal cases have been known to take 10 to 15 years to reach a conclusion. So that's a way to stop people going to court, I suppose, to know that it's going to take 10 or 15 years. But our mate, kept going, 22 years, minuscule amount, and took the case right up to the Supreme Court.
So if the railways had to pay a fine of up to maybe a few hundred quid.
180 quid, yeah.
Yeah, so like, who gets that money? Did he get it?
He gets it.
All right,
he gets it. And then there's also interest on it as well.
Of
so it's like when you put a bet on with the bookies. If you win, you get your bet plus whatever money.
Very
so
good.
He's getting his 20 rupees back as well.
I admire the man.
Did you see have you ever seen in Hong Kong, pictures of Hong Kong, they have this giant floating restaurant.
Oh yeah, I know this.
Do you know this thing?
I know about it because actually somebody was talking about it this week.
Did you read about it?
No, I didn't, but somebody was talking about it. And like, in fact, it's in a James Bond movie.
Yes, exactly.
And Tom Cruise.
It's really famous.
Yeah, it's in a lot of movies.
Anywhere Hong Kong.
It's a floating restaurant.
It's a floating restaurant.
But it's just there, isn't it?
It's got a great name.
It's not going around the bay, is it?
It's called Jumbo Floating Restaurant.
All right.
Which I really like.
But isn't it kind of anchored and moored and it's been there for 30 or 40 years?
It can move around. Yeah. But it closed its doors in 2020 because it was, you know, the pandemic and all that kind of stuff obviously had a huge effect on restaurants and all that and hospitality of all kinds. But then it began to sink earlier this year, apparently. So, and it's now allegedly trapped upside down on a reef. And they can't.
But can it just float out to sea or were they pulling it out?
So it began to, it came into headlines at the beginning of this year. It closed its doors 2020, 2 years ago. And then it was back in the headlines this at the start of this year because it started to sink. Kind of, I don't know if they knew what was going on at that stage, but it was, I suppose it was kind of unmaintained over the 2 years of the pandemic or whatever. But they said a Hainan Maritime Safety Administration duty officer said on Wednesday that the boat was still near the Paracel Islands in China. And they said, we're looking into the incident. The vessel capsized and keeled over and was trapped on a reef just off Sansha in Hainan. And as far as I know, that's the latest on the situation. We can't say for sure how much longer the investigation will take. It's being conducted in accordance with relevant laws. So it first capsized in June because of rough seas, and then when it was en route to Cambodia, so it can move around, it was en route to Cambodia after closing its doors in 2020. And they said there's no threat to safety of navigation in the area, apparently, because it's in, you know, port, it's not affecting other ships or anything. But it opened in 1976 and became iconic, like you said, appeared in loads of movies. And if there was anything to do with Hong Kong on the telly, they would always show kind of a shot of it, exactly, and stuff like that, or in movies.
So it's probably
or whatever.
A perfect or maybe a terrible metaphor for what's happened with Hong Kong in the last 3 or 4
years.
Well, exactly.
I mean, as if, you know, it's kind of they don't seem to be rushing themselves to recover it or whatever. There doesn't seem to be a plan to recover it. They may just let it go.
Yeah.
But it's kind of sad.
They're too busy in Hong Kong arresting everyone.
Oh, well, exactly.
10,000 people
it.
Arrested in the last few years.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all quietly being done under the radar.
They're worried about other things in Hong Kong at the moment.
Yeah.
So you were then talking about your man, the Indian guy who took the case about his train fare, about him climbing the mountain and making it to the top of the mountain. Have you seen in what they're saying to climbers in Mont Blanc?
No.
So apparently the mayor says that they are going to start charging if people want to scale, you know, the mountain there in Mont Blanc. They have to, they're going to ask them to pay €15,000 for rescue and a deposit on their funeral.
Is that if they are rescued or have to be rescued, or if they don't have to be rescued, do they get the money back?
If they don't have to be rescued, I assume they would get the money back. But because what's happening, apparently...
That's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I thought so. I mean, what's happening is that inexperienced climbers are attempting Mont Blanc, and they're coming in the wrong gear, and they're coming with the wrong, you know, straw hats and shorts and trainers and all this kind of stuff.
And there hasn't been an awful lot of snowfall in the last year or two, so that doesn't help in
exactly.
some ways,
So what's happening is a lot, the rescues in that area have gone up massively, and the French taxpayer pays for this, you know.
Yeah.
So what this French mayor is saying, he said it's a game of Russian roulette if you decide to head up the mountain and you're not prepared. So it says the finer detail of the plan specifies that €10,000 would cover the cost of a rescue, and the additional £5,000 would be a deposit on a funeral. So local guides, this was another reason that they that it kind of all fell apart. Local guides had suspended their operations on the route, so it's accessible to climbers of any skill level, but with no guide, you don't know what, and you don't know what you're doing, and you're showing up in trainers, then it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
So they described that 5 Romanian visitors had attempted the ascent of Mont Blanc wearing shorts and straw hats and had to be turned back by mountain police. So the mayor said people want to climb with death in their backpacks, so let's anticipate the cost of having to rescue them and for their burial, because it's unacceptable that French taxpayers should put the bill. Go on.
Well, they're halfway up the mountain and there's a police station way up there.
I suppose.
And they said, well, what are you guys doing
here? Or they have mountain police, like, I guess, in like the Canadian lads on the horses whatever.
I think it was that mountain. Quite a few people died when a big ice thing fell down on them.
Summer, so that actually happened very recently. There was a landslide and people had to be rescued from there as well. But they said the mountain. This mayor is really angry about this, and he is really raging that taxpayers have to foot the bill for these rescues.
And it might turn a few agents off.
Well, this is it. Exactly. I think it's more of a prevention thing than anything else. You have a dog, don't you?
Yes.
And you're not walking the said dog in the peak of summer heat, are you?
Of course I am. Get out there, Fido.
Stop. No, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. So apparently, this will be interesting for you, for your dog. Apparently, a Tokyo clothing maker has teamed up with vets to create wearable fans for pets.
Like they walk around with a little yoke on her, like a helicopter over their head. Yeah, pretty cool.
Exactly. So this is a collab that's hoping to attract anxious owners of dogs or cats that can't shed their fur because Japan is having a heat wave like a lot of the world at the moment. Their temperatures are up to 35 degrees day after day after day. So yeah. This is, you know, if you have pets, it's a worry for people. So the device consists of a battery operated 80 gram fan that's attached to a mesh outfit and blows air around the animal's body. Does that sound nice?
God. Yeah, you know, funny
sounds like something that I could do.
The paper yesterday, Carlo had 31 degrees, the highest.
Yeah,
in
highest ever.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah, highest ever.
I was in 35, 36 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but you're
weekend in Paris,
flipping around with your celeb mates in the summer heat. The rest
really,
of us
it was
just,
only Coldplay.
The rest of us have to look into mesh suits with fans to keep us cool.
Actually, funny thing is, yesterday I saw for one of the first times ever I saw two people walking down the street with umbrellas, which is not something
a parasol,
you see.
Like a parasol situation.
Yeah, you don't see that too much in Ireland.
No, you don't. You do see it in Asia a lot. Yeah.
You see it in February. But
Yeah, exactly. But so apparently, there's Ray Ozawa, who's the president of the maternity clothing maker Sweet Mommy, says that she was motivated to create the outfit for dogs and cats when her own pet chihuahua was exhausted every time it was taken out for a walk in the scorching summer heat. Now, I will have to say, disclaimer, you're not meant to walk your pet the peak of the heat. If you simply must walk your dog, then walk him at night time or before it gets very hot in the day. So that's an outfit idea for you and your dog.
Fabulous.
At home. Yep. One of my favourite things this week, have you seen the inaugural Scottish tree hugging championships?
Is this the first one? If you told me it's been happening for 50 years, I'd believe you, really, because they got a wife throwing one and a husband throwing one or something.
Yeah, I love those. Yeah. So the inaugural Scottish tree hugging championship was held a couple of weeks ago. Would you like to know about the events?
The events?
I thought you'd just go and hug a tree, but it's multi-layered. It's deeper than that. So it happens in Morvern Peninsula. And so the events included speed hugging, most trees hugged in 1 minute.
What constitutes a hug? I mean, like, do you have to go all the way around the tree? No?
Yeah, I suppose you do. Yeah. Well, you don't know if you can't, like... You don't have to meet your hands on the other side, I don't think.
Okay.
But you just have to put a real effort into it.
Who decides that, no, that's not good enough, there's not enough kind of amour
in that? The judging panel. So you have to hug as many trees as possible in 1 minute, each hug lasting a minimum of 5 seconds. There's also the most dedicated hug, in which you have to show presence, intention, love and respect for the tree.
Is that the humping one? I mean, seriously.
That's not respectful.
It's obviously very kind of holistic and all that kind of thing. It's all part of the whole thing,
Freestyle.
I'm sure does it reduce stress?
It does.
Right, yeah.
It does.
Does it improve immunity?
It does.
Good, right. Does it lower blood pressure?
Yes.
Do you get a basic recovery from illness? Does it give you the numbers of the lotto tonight?
It does.
Great, I'll do it.
It does. There's also a freestyle segment, which is most creative hug. So you can see the style is open to the participant's own interpretation. One tree only, you get one chance at this, and you do it for a maximum of 1 minute.
Fantastic.
What would be your most creative hug?
Well, I'm in touch with the national world and the natural world, I'm fine, you know. But like, don't forget that the energy that flows through you flows through everything.
Well, exactly. So the winner was Alistair Firth, who lives locally on Woodland Croft, so he has experience.
So he practices every day.
Exactly. He
Woodland
was in training.
Croft.
Exactly.
Great.
So, and the mission statement of the event was to raise awareness of nature, to promote understanding about the benefit of trees for health, increase appreciation, and host a friendly shared experience that can bring people together. So I'm going to go next year.
All right, good enough. That sounds good to me. Give us one more.
Okay. Do you want the Italian priest who said mass on the beach?
I think you were most interested in that one on the beach. I heard you mention this. Tell me about it.
I really liked this story. So unfortunately, now this poor Italian priest is under investigation for conducting mass in his togs and using an inflatable mattress as an altar.
So Father Ted did it at the back of a trailer, exactly, chasing after a milk van.
Exactly. So Italian authorities are investigating a priest who celebrated Mass on the beach with an inflatable air mattress as an altar. Father Mattia Bernasconi, not Berlusconi, Bernasconi, from the San Luigi Gonzaga parish in Milan. Such great names. Yeah. And they've been helping with a week-long camp organised by Liberia, an anti-mafia organisation, according to local media reports. So, however, they couldn't find a proper spot in the forest to do the Mass, and they were desperate to get some shade. Also very hot in Italy at the moment. So the priest said it was very hot, and he was telling the paper, so we said to ourselves, why not in the water? A family heard us and gave us their mattress, which we transformed into an altar. It was beautiful, even if we got sunburnt. And then there was photos afterwards of Berlusconi holding Mass in his togs with his arms outstretched over a floating air mattress in the sea, and it's prompted warnings from Catholic authorities and an investigation from the Crotone prosecutor's office.
So he's in trouble.
Seems a bit harsh
to me too,
doesn't
yeah.
it? Like,
absolutely.
I mean, if you just say Mass.
Africa's been real. Thank you so much. And welcome back from Dunlongowl.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's take this. Dave Fanning on 2FM.